Got a letter also from out of Korea, a boy there in training, that really is out of Bangladesh, that asked us to come into Bangladesh for a crusade there. You know, Bangladesh has really been hit hard again and again. There's been some terrible, terrible calamities that's befallen Bangladesh. And this boy was speaking of the ministry and how that they'd got a hold of the Word of God here as to the revelation, and he's so excited and he wants to be part of this. And we're continually getting letters. We got one out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and the lady there, since they had a cutback on the radio station as to the watts or the wattage power, she wanted to know what happened to her program. And a lot of people, you know, they feed from a radio broadcast and the different things that we do. That's why it is so essential for you to work with us and help us, because those people, that's the only means of salvation or food that they have. And they can't be here with the regularity to fellowship the brothers and sisters and learn about the wonderful mysteries of God. Now, I know that some of you are not learning about the mysteries of God. I know that. I mean, I'm not ignorant to the extent that I understand that you're not learning the mysteries of God. Some of you know hardly any more than when you first come here. But I'm speaking of the saints of God. It's given. See, Satan has blinded the eyes of understanding as to them that come, that are not called to be saints as for the next world. And they set under the ministry, but out of every ministry there's twins born. One is an intellectual thing that is blinded by darkness and is intellectually indoctrinated with the word and continues on in the world as to furbish and refurbish life in the natural. And these things don't penetrate. They don't reach them. And there's nothing that you can do about it. You know, it's like a magnet. If you've got the mind of Christ, when these things go by, you take hold of them. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, they just pass by and there's no contact. See, and there's nothing that you can do about it. The Bible teaches that you cannot receive anything except to be given you of God. And many of the people will live on the campground. They'll come and go, and they'll be as religious as can be. They'll be within the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, and they will feel that they're part of the ministry. And it is true that they are, even as Judas was. He was part, the Bible said, he obtained part of that ministry but failed by transgression. But he was a devil from the beginning as to the foreknowledge of God. Even when Jesus chose him, he knew that the end of his life, that it would be display of satanic doings and cost him his life. But nevertheless, he had his part to play. And people have their part to play, whether they are 30-fold, 60-fold, whether they get a partial reward or a full reward, or whether they don't get any reward at all, they still have to be there. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, Satan came also. That is, he lives in his children like God lives in his children. And they all have to give an account to God, because God creates the good and the evil, has his way in both, works all things after the counsel of his own will. And some people come to church to be with the brethren for social benefits and social reasons. They like the securities and safety, and they like the blessings, and they like to be partakers of the benefits. And when they give only of their time and of their substance as to draw a benefit as to a natural source. And of course, that's all they get. But there are some that are elect. They belong to God, and they are elect. They are sons and daughters of God, and they can never rest. The things of the world don't satisfy them. They've been out there in that, and it doesn't satisfy, and they're not interested in the things of the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. He is affiliated in every way with the flesh. All of his actions is of the flesh. All of his desires is of the flesh. And all he does is of the flesh, because he is cut off from the spirit world. And he doesn't have a chance to see those wonderful things. Paul spoke of the things that are in heaven. He said, and I'm persuaded to believe that these wonderful things he saw up in the third heaven, that speaking of comparison, that these things that are beggarly elements in the earth are not worthy to be compared with those heavenly things. But nevertheless, if a man is earthy, fleshly, he desires earthy things. And his thrill is his body, his face, his doings, his plans, his programs, and whatever he can make himself to be, or whatever he can project himself to be through life, whatever he can accomplish through life. He can't help it. That's what he is. That's his nature. That's his frame of mind. But a person that is heavenly, they are concerned about the things of the Heavenly Father, and they're not concerned about the things of the flesh. They're not enthused over the things of the flesh. And this, as the Bible said, you can tell the difference between the children of God and the children of the world, or the children of Satan. The love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. And you can tell by their doings, because one, all of the ambition is toward that which is of the preservation of the flesh and as to the benefit of the flesh. As a child of God, all of it is towards self-denial and to the benefit of the Spirit. Even their conversation is in heaven. Even their desire in heaven and their ambition is for God. So when these things are said, not everyone gets them. Only a few, a little flock. But the Bible tells us, even as the little flock, to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, seeing that the angels received a just recompense of reward for every transgression. If we let it slip, then how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? And it tells us that we should also take heed how that we hear, that we should incorporate these things in our life, take heed how that we hear, so that we won't misconstrue what's being said or misunderstand it. In that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, and he causes these things to be fuddled up in our mind. And the Bible speaks of them. Peter spoke of these things that Paul spoke as in Revelation, saying that many people that hear these things rest as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction, because they cannot understand, or they try to make these things fit their way of life. And you cannot make the scriptures fit your way of life. You cannot make God fit your way of life. You must surrender and conform to his way of life. You cannot take the things of God and make them fit your desire and way of life. It won't work. You must surrender altogether, down to every thought, to the subjection of Christ, and every deed as to a living sacrifice, conforming to the word, to where it can be said of you that it's not you living, but Christ that liveth within you. And the life that you now live, you live with the Son of God. Because the world is to pass away, and the lust of the world, that is the desire of the world, is to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Heaven and earth, he said, shall pass away. But he said, my word, it shall not pass away. All right, so we're glad to be here tonight. We're glad to see you here tonight. Glad to have my Susie down with us. She's feeling so much better. God has really blessed her after the ordeal that she's encountered. And she came down by herself, but she drove all the way down. And I think that was real courageous. Everyone is thankful, if they're a real, genuine Christian, they're thankful to have their children. So grateful. And I'm so grateful to have mine, both my natural children and my spiritual children. I'm so grateful to have them, not only here, but around the world. We have spiritual children, and I thank God for them. All right. We had, in the last service, let you ask a question, and Brother Taylor asked one, and we elaborated on it, and it took the whole service as to what it was. We decided the last service that we would take a service or two and let you ask a question. One thing is, because it's imperative to your salvation that you understand. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. And since it's imperative to your salvation, then sometimes we realize that you have a question. Ask. It was with me in my coming up in the time of my growth with God, whereas we're still growing, you know. Paul said, I doubtless shall come to vision and revelation. But in the time of my early growth in the Lord, I had questions, something like thousands of questions. That's the way I was. I know that sounds unreal, and I know that sounds far exaggerated, but I can assure you I had thousands of questions. My whole mind and heart all day long was a question. And I searched and prayed and waited on God and talked with God until He satisfied every one of them. And I can truthfully say today, out of the thousands of questions that I had during my growth in God, that today there's not one unanswered question. Not one. Every one of them that I thought there was no answer to, I thought there just is no answer. I talked to people all over the different parts of the nation and the world, and I thought there just ain't no answer. But I found out that there is an answer to every question, and He answered every one of them. And even now, if a question arises in my heart about anything, He quickly answers it. So I can assure you that if you've got questions, He'll answer every one of them. First of all, there's no greater subject in the Bible than faith. And the reason for that is because salvation is by faith. And God being invisible, then that means that you cannot honor God any other way. There is no way to honor God except through faith. God is a spirit, and He's the invisible force that you cannot see. He is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. When I say light, I want to remind you again, I do this over and over for the sake of the ones that come, perhaps new ones that has never heard, and of course many of them that have heard over and over still cannot conceive of what we're saying. So when we say light, I remind you again that this light that we look at is only a type. Everything in the world is only a type. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things that do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. So then when we say light, light most precious, which means understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you comprehend the heights, you comprehend the depths, you comprehend the widths. This is where the great understanding of God comes from, through the comprehending. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot get faith just by praying and fasting and those kind of things. You cannot do that. There is no way to get faith except by the hearing of the word. You might resort to something else, you know, thinking that you can have faith and thinking that that is faith. But that won't be faith. You can fast, but you don't get faith from fasting. You can give, you don't get faith from giving. You can serve God with all of your heart, but you don't get faith. That's not where faith comes from. Faith simply comes by one thing, and that is when the Word of God comes unto you, just like it did the prophets, whether it be God speaking to you, and you're hearing it through your spiritual ear, and that the Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear, or you're hearing it through the ministry. That is the only way that you can get faith. And anything else you do as to praying, whatever, that is to strengthen your faith. To strengthen your faith. And of course, God was speaking to Abraham there as to saying that Abraham, do such and such. He said, walk perfectly before me. I want you to walk perfectly before me. See, God's desire is that if you be children of Abraham, and Abraham be your father, that ye should walk perfectly before God, even as Abraham did. And then in doing this, you strengthen your faith, and it can be said of you, as it was of Abraham, that Abraham was strong in faith, not wavering at all. He did not waver. He did not doubt. He did not question. His spirit, his mind, his makeup, his sense ability in life never questioned what God said. And so then the Bible said Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. A lot of us are persuaded, but the thing is, we are partially persuaded, as we would say. That is, we're not fully persuaded to the extent that we don't accomplish our purpose the way that Abraham did, and we don't receive the benefits of our faith as to the full extent as Abraham did. And that is because of lack of conviction as to a full persuasion of what God has said. Some of us, we seek to strengthen our faith, and some of us don't seek to strengthen our faith. Some of us just say, well, we're Christian. We go on in our normal trend of life, eating and drinking and buying and selling, and we never really get down to business with God as to try to do anything for Christ. To make a sacrifice as to give our bodies a living sacrifice, to make an effort to be holy and godly and pure, to make an effort to make every thought be holy and godly and pure. We don't do that. A lot of us don't do that. See, Paul said, I say we, to keep from saying you, you know, to let you know that what he says to one, he says it to all. So a lot of us don't make that effort, but Abraham did. Abraham, at the command of God, left his kindred, the land of his kindred, sojourned in a country, a strange country, not knowing where he was going. But he did it by faith, the Bible says. And offering up his son Isaac without question. When God said, offer your son up, he didn't question God. He didn't question God at all. He took God at his word. And God said, take your son Isaac, your only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice. See here, he had not had a son, and he received the son by faith. Just by believing in God, he received the son. And now that he's got the son, it is said to him, take the son and offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham wouldn't even tell Sarah, because he knew Sarah wasn't going to go along with anything like that. Sarah would have said, Abraham, you're crazy. You're not going to kill my son. So he didn't tell her nothing. He just took the son, went on his way, took the men that were to go with him, traveled over to the mountain where God said to sacrifice him. And Isaac, being a type of the Lord Jesus, then he was to be offered up. And here, when he got there, the faith of Abraham was so great and so mighty as to not to question God. He took the son and he took wood, took everything he needed for the sacrifice. Started up on the mountainside, and he said to the young men that waited, he said, you stay here at the foot of the mountain. You stay right here. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And when we worship, we'll come back down to meet you. Now, to me, that is some of the most staggering faith that I have ever heard of. I've never heard of faith like that. Never in reading of the Bible. I never heard of faith like this. Never. See, God said, go kill the boy. And Abraham has so much confidence in what God had already said. Whereas he said, and in Isaac shall all nations be blessed. And he knew that they could not be blessed through Isaac, him being dead. So the kid had to live, or the son had to live. And he had so much confidence in what God had said concerning Isaac that he told him at the foot of the mountain, he said, we'll go worship and we'll be back down. Both of us will come back. And of course, you know how it was when he got to the top of the mountain. Abraham never flinched according to the Bible, any historical teachings. He reached, he got his knife, he bound Isaac. And before the binding, Isaac said, Father, here is the wood, everything is ready for the sacrifice. Said, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide his sacrifice. And so then he put Isaac there for sacrifice, brought the knife down, and according to the Bible, the knife was flashing down, no doubt, toward his heart, already on its way and ready to strike its mark, when the angel screamed out and said, Abraham, Abraham, do thy child or son no harm. I know that thou fearest God. He said, don't harm the child. And I wonder if it wasn't more than that, you know. I wonder if that angel didn't just fly over while he was hollering and caught that arm like that and said, do him no harm. Because I got a feeling that that knife would have plunged into the heart, loving that child with all of his heart, the only child. But I got a feeling that that knife would have drove right straight through that heart if that angel had not interfered. So, going back down to the bottom of the hill, there he was. The fulfillment of faith. He said, I and the lad will go, we'll return. See, and I said that to get to this. Chapter 3 in the book of 1 John, if you've got your Bibles. Let's read just a little bit here. In chapter 3, the 11th verse, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. A lot of times we talk about the message. Somebody said, is he in the message or is she in the message? Or they say, What is the message? Are this group of people, they have the message. Brethren, you may not agree with me, and if you don't, well, that's your prerogative in life. You know, you do whatever you want to. But there isn't but one message, and this is the message right here. For this is the message. That's what it says. This is the message. That we should love one another. That's the message of God. That's the only message I know of. Love is as strong as death, and God is love. And the message is love. Love fulfills the law. There's nothing else that fulfills the law. It's love that worketh no ill to its neighbor. When the law said, thou shalt not kill, it is love that will not kill. When it is said that thou shalt not steal, it is love that will not steal. And on and on and on, every commandment is fulfilled in love. In this, that thou should love thy neighbor as thyself. Love will not covet that which belongs to its neighbor. Love is perfection, the bond of perfection, or charity, the bond of perfection, which is God love. So, we see here, it says, this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. There's another proof of the message. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, lest not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That is to say, and he that keepeth his commandment, that is, he that keepeth the commandment of love, abideth in him. That is, he abideth in love. And he in him, which means love in him. He abideth in love, and love abideth in him. So then the perfect state of that man is love. All things that you do, whether you prophesy, whether you speak in tongues, whether you interpret, whether you work miracles, whether you know mysteries, no matter what you understand, there is nothing that excels love. Paul said, I show unto you a more excelling way, or he called it an excellent way. And that is charity, the bond of perfection. For everything will fail at one time or another. But he said, charity is something that will never fail. It will never fail. It is the bond of perfectness. That is, there's no breaches in love. There's no breaches in love. So then we're told here by John that we should love one another. And he says that if we're going to have a full assurance. Now, Abraham had a full confidence. He was fully confident. The Bible said that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Here, we've got a lot of promises. Jesus said, being the Prince of Life, I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. And then he said, I have given unto you all things that pertain unto life, whether it be for this world or the world to come. And that it says the gospel is, it is profitable for this life. So then I've given you all things that pertain unto life, whether it's to get along with your wife and her to get along with you, whether it's your freedom from prison or death, whether it's your health, whether it's your joy, whether it's your happiness, financial prosperity, whether it's reverence from your children to the parents or the parents to the children, whoever is the one is to the partaker. Whatever it might be, it doesn't matter what it is. God has fully given it to you. All things that pertain unto life. So then, here we have this, but the thing is, where is our full persuasion? Abraham was fully persuaded, full confidence, with a full persuasion that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And the Bible said, being not weak in faith, he staggered not at the promises of God. He didn't stagger at them. A lot of times we stagger. The Bible said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a ship on the wave of a sea. And the Bible said, that man that wavereth, if he be double-minded, as to be worldly-minded today, and the next day he's religiously minded, the Bible says that this man, having a desire as to worldly things one day, fleshly things one day, and spiritual things another day, said, this man is double-minded. He's unstable in all of his ways, and let him not think that he's going to receive anything of God, neither in this world or the world to come. He won't get anything from God at any time. See, because his mind is conniving, his mind is suspicious, his mind is contrary. When you're suspicious-minded, jealously-minded, when you're contrary in any way, as to thoughts of gossip and backbiting, worldliness, whatever, that is a contrary spirit, as a mind is a spirit. And that is a contrary spirit as to God's spirit. And having a contrary spirit as to your desire, you'll never have the fullness of God. See, so the full persuasion in God is, the Bible says, is Abraham not staggering at the promises, being fully persuaded, since God had promised it, that it was going to come to pass. And the Bible teaches that Abraham went about giving glory to God. You know, like it was said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a little son. So he says to Sarah, just think, what a wonderful time we're going to have. What are we going to name him? We're going to name him Isaac. That's what we're going to name him. And Mike, and just see him now, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old, and he was just having himself a time. He never considered the fact that maybe they couldn't have a child and that neither one of them could have children. But he never considered that. The body's dead as to reproduction. He never considered that at all. All he did was consider what God said about it. God said it. As far as that was Abraham was concerned, that settled it. He didn't question it at all. So then, when you and I get to the place to where we can take the promise and we can make the confession, then the Bible said he is the high priest of our confession, that if thou canst believe with thine heart and then confess with thy mouth, then it'll come to pass, whether it's salvation or whatever it is. I know this story about the man that came to Jesus that had the centurion that was grievously vexed. This man was grievously vexed with a disease. And the Bible in one place records that he came to Jesus and he asked healing for his servant. And when Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. See now, look at the faith of Jesus. He was a man like Brother Pike. He's a man just like Brother Gary out here. See, he was a man. He was flesh. He was bones. But when they said, the man said, I want my child healed. Jesus, who was the prime example, said, I'll come and heal him. Come on now. I mean, let's be right up front with it. He said, we'll come and pray for him. And we'll pray that God will heal him. Jesus didn't say that at all. He didn't say that at all. He said, I'll come and heal him. Now, when Jesus healed, the Bible said the Pharisees and scribes, they marveled, saying, how is it that God has given such power unto men? See, Jesus had that power. He was already full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I know. The Bible said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it says after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the original rendering teaches it when it comes upon you. See, because the Holy Ghost is power. You understand what I'm saying? Speaking of faith now. Power. Receive power. We have the Holy Ghost. So did Jesus have the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost. The Bible said when he went into the wilderness, he was full of the Holy Ghost. When he went into the wilderness, led of the Spirit into the wilderness. But he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. He returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And then his fame was spread abroad. That's when he turned the water into wine. Somebody would say, my God, Brother Pike, turn water into wine. That shouldn't be anything for you and I to do. To turn water into wine should be a little thing for you and I to do. See, but where we get into trouble, we reason in our mind. We reason, we say, my God, turn water into wine? Well, even scientists can go far enough to say that the composition of one thing can be changed to another if you have the knowledge of knowing how to do it, even through a formulated means. How much more God turning the water to wine? See, let me give a thought or two here. It's like the cameras here. We have the big cameras. We bought the cameras. Just straying off my thought a little bit, just the theme, but I'll get back to it. Just run out on a limb here and take a look at the fruit. These cameras, we have these cameras here. I was told that the cameras won't work. I was told that they had to have tubes. I was told all kinds of things. So I went to the Lord. The Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He'll direct your path. I went to the Lord and I asked him, I said, what about the cameras? The Lord spoke to my heart. I come back and I told him, I said, brethren, I said, we're going to use the cameras. Well, I started early yesterday morning. I made up my mind when I come back, I was going to kill the lion and get him out of the street. Because that's all it is. So, I come back. I talked to some of the brethren. Had everything going real well in the early morning. And then, after that, they began to congregate. We got in here, when we started to do something, we had a half a dozen people in there. And I looked at them and I said, they started talking about we had to have new cameras. Had to have this kind of camera, that kind of camera. We'd done rented other kind of cameras. We went through one camera and another camera and on down the line. And I listened. And we got through. I said, fellas, let me tell you. I said, when you got 100 people, you got 100 different minds. Remember now on the day of Pentecost, there were one mind and one accord, and that was the mind of Christ. And I said, now, I don't mean to hurt you, and I don't mean to grieve you. I said, and if you get grieved and feel bad, you can leave, and I don't feel bad at you. I said, but we're going to use these cameras. I said, that's what we're going to do. I know it don't sit well with some of you, but I said, we're going to use them. I said, now, if you don't want to, that's your business. I won't feel bad at you. I said, but God told me to use these cameras. And I said, that's what we're going to use. He gave Moses a stick and he said, use that stick. Go down there and deliver Israel. If he gave Israel chariots and armies and everything else, somebody tell me how much glory would God have gotten out of that? All of the people that went with Gideon, if he had won the war by those people, how much glory would God have gotten? He sent them all back but a few. When he got ready to defeat 1,000 men, he didn't call a half a dozen Israelites. He took Samson. Isn't that right? Took another man with an ox gore. 700 men he walked through like that. Killed them. See, on one occasion when a man picked up his sword, he said, the battle's not to the strong and to the multitude. He said to his armor bearer, let's go. God's with us. And walked through the army like that. See, that is to say, always, as Noah, one little family there, he condemned the whole world. See, God gets glory when he says, you take this stick. Go down there. So Moses took the stick. He goes down into Egypt to deliver the people. And all he's got is a stick. And he's a dignitary. He walks up in the front of Pharaoh with a stick. Shakes his stick and says, I've come to deliver Israel. And before they could get him and put him in the white jacket, as we say, before they could get him and say, this man is a lunatic, he threw the stick down and it turned into a snake. And everybody backed off and they thought, mate, now I've never seen a stick like this stick. See, this is what I'm speaking of. It was faith that delivered Israel. It wasn't the stick. God chooses the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. It might look like I'm going around the long way, Brother Clyde, and a big gap here. But I'm trying to get a point over. See, it wasn't the stick that delivered Israel. It was faith in God, in what God had said. See, that's what done it. And it, in every instance, you can read about the great deliverance, the great leaders, the great champions that God raised up. But in every case, if you'll look close, you'll go back to the rudiment of the thing and find out it was faith that did it. See, Rahab the harlot, she helped the spies escape. Say, She was rewarded because of what she'd done. I know that according to the Word. But the thing that prompted her to do that was faith in what they had said. It was faith. God had told those spies to go there, and when they shared this knowledge with her, it scared her. She believed it. You know, that's where the problem is in the church. A lot of people don't have the fear of God. You can talk about the judgments of God and the things happening to people. They don't have any fear about that. It doesn't move them. They think, well, I'm young, I've got plenty of strength, I can take it. You know, I've got money, I've got security. And they don't consider the fact that what God said is coming to pass, whether He cuts them down as a little tree or lets them grow to be a big one. See, and they don't have the fear of God. The Bible said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. That is when you begin to be afraid as to cross God. Not afraid of God, but afraid to cross God and go contrary to God. You begin to get a little wisdom then. If you don't get afraid of God, you'll go out here just as bold as you can be, and you'll blunder like a fool right on into the dart as it strikes through your liver. The Bible said you can warn a fool, but he'll go right on till the dart strikes through his liver. I don't care what you tell him or what you tell her. They'll wind up in prison. They'll wind up in the electric chair. They'll wind up getting shot down. They'll wind up getting killed out yonder through the foolishness. And I don't care how many times they experience the different things that they experience. They can experience it over and over. They'll go right back to it. The Bible said the dog will go back to his vomit and the sow after that she has been washed to her wallowing in the mire. So you can warn a wise man and he'll be wiser. You understand what I'm saying? We are trying to bring up wise men. That's where the church failed. They are not fearful in the sight of God. They don't have fear of God, so they don't have any wisdom of God, so they don't do like Rahab, or they don't do like Abraham or any of the others, as to depart from iniquity. And so their lives are just one big mess all the time. All right, getting back to the theme of our thought and running down a thing or two here as to the cameras. As pertaining to a little illustration here, I told them, I said, we're going to use these cameras. So they had told me that we had to have different things to check them out. You couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. I said, well, I don't understand that. I said, in the past, just God, we got together with God and we'd done it. So then when we got up here and we started to go into it, I talked just a little bit, not to try, you know, to trap anybody or cause them problems, but Paul said, being crafty, I caught you with guile. So I thought it'd be a little crafty and just search out the situation a little bit. And when I did, some of them stepped right into it. I said, I said, we don't have to have the waveform monitor to check the cameras, do we? I said, so we're going to check it right now. So we checked it with what we had. When we checked it, to their utter amazement, they checked out two of the cameras. They're working just fine. One of the finest pictures I have ever seen. One of the sharpest pictures, and I knew that these cameras would produce that because this is supposed to be the best you can get. The top of the line. And these cameras probably would cost about, maybe cost more now, but did cost, I believe, about $90,000 a piece. And you've got six of them. And you've got two more back here that they're called junk, I believe. And by the way, somebody out of New York wanted to buy your junk back there. They found out you had it. And we had three back there, I believe we got. And we had two more back there that they called junk. And somebody out of Columbus asked if they could buy our junk. So they bought them. So you understand what I'm saying? People that don't have a mind to work, don't want to do nothing, lost the vision, lets the devil get a hold of them, will go for years after the money, after the things of the world, going after the flesh, saving the things that be of the flesh, and won't confess it, and won't let you do know nothing, and stop the operation of God, and let multitudes go to hell. And when the time has passed as to the years, and the devil knows he can't do any more, they'll come and confess, because he'll lift, the devil will lift them. But see, it's too late. It's gone. The blood's on their hand, and you've wasted your time, and the damage has been done. But even David, Paul, was literally shocked when he saw the image that come on these screens. So the tubes were not burnt out. And the video is excellent. Excellent. Now, when they looked like they couldn't get a program to go up yonder, we just got together, prayed, and again, faith versus knowledge. And human reasoning. And Sunday, we went on the air. everything goes well, by tomorrow morning, the other tapes for Monday through Sunday, that is without Saturday, Monday through Friday, skip Saturday, and then Sunday. They have a way that they don't sell you a full package for a week, even though I have done it on XCRF. If I get on 7 days, somehow I'd get it in there. But anyway, we should be on there if nothing happens, beginning Sunday, this coming Sunday, right on through Friday, and everything seems to be well. And not only that, but the things that we needed that we could not get, a waveform monitor that we needed, whereas we've got numbers of different kind of things in here, they won't fix them. They say they can't fix them or can't get them fixed. Of course, I don't agree with that, but nevertheless, I'm not questioning their integrity. They know how they feel. See, here's what I'm saying, folks, is you can have a head full of lying vanities, and you can see nothing but opposition. You can see pink elephants because you're having strong delusions. You know, and somebody comes by that's in their right mind, and they know that you're having strong delusions because you've been drunk. Let's say getting drunk on the world. When you get drunk on the world and you come back and say, bunch of junk. Them people out there, bunch of hypocrites. Bethlehem, that's a joke. You know why? Because you're blind as a bat. You're blind. You're drunk. See, you're drunk and you're blind. And you're just vomiting out your shame everywhere you go. And when you get out there and you get a few dollars back in your billfold back here, you stick those. Now, somebody didn't think I was going to preach tonight. They thought I was just going to talk about faith. I'm talking about faith. You have to get rid of all the junk before you get faith. So, see, the junk's in their head. It's not God's stuff. It's in their head. Like I told somebody down at the house one day, that a lot of them was talking about junk, junk, junk. I said, don't never call what I got junk no more that I got from God. I said, ain't nothing that God belongs to God's junk. I told them, I said, the junk's in your head. And that's where the junk is, of them people out there that are junk, as they call them. So anyway, a man, he gets $10,000 in his pocket, $7,000. He feels like a giant. He'll let the woman on the corner starve to death, or the kid before he'll divide with her. He gets that in. You know, that's his overhead. That's his capital. That's his operation. He'll let somebody starve to death before they share with him. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's seeing lying vanities. He feels like he's going on with God. He feels like he's sharing with God. And like the rich men, he'll come by and he'll drop in out of his abundance and God don't even look at him. He looks over here and the little widow comes by and she gives two mites. This man gave $1,000 and God don't even notice it. This little widow gave two mites and God stands up and says, did you see what she done? You understand what I'm saying? The evaluation is not according to what you give, but according to what you have left after you get through giving. Somebody would say, well, how much should I give? Every thought to subjection that you don't have a thought left. Every deed to where you're living sacrifice, and it's not you living but God. Every bit of your substance to the extent that they sold their houses, their land, their cars, and everything they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet, fed the widows and the orphan, and did not say anything that they had was theirs. But they continued breaking bread together from house to house and sharing alike. Anyway, getting back to our thought. See, they see lying vanities. And the reason is because they had the love of the world and had their minds on the things of the world, and it quit and didn't want to have a mind to work, as we say. When I confronted them, you know what they did? They confessed it. After all these years, all the problems that I've had with this office, they openly confessed that they had the mind on the world and the things of the world and wanted the things of the world and said, we told you that we didn't, but we did. But see, the damage is done. The heartaches of that. The problems and sleepless nights that I had in pleading with God. See, but be sure your sins will find you out. And people suffer from things like that. We all have suffered from many things and will suffer many more things. All right, so I just said that to say this. Faith versus human reasoning and knowledge. And when faith comes, the devil leaves. You know, and the different things stop. And you come to your human senses and you say, my God, what have I done? What have I done? When Judas come to his senses, he didn't want the 30 pieces of silver. He yearned to get that 30 pieces of silver. But when he come to his senses and he realized that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he throwed it down. He couldn't get them. He tried to give it back. They wouldn't take it. He throwed it down and went off in tears and went and hanged himself because he couldn't find a place to repent it. When Esau found out that he'd lost the birthright. He lost his zeal for hunting. He lost his zeal for the world. He lost his zeal for everything. But old brother Jacob had already stayed around and watched for the chance to get that birthright. And Esau never found a place of repentance, so he sought it with tears. You can have the world. You can go after it. But just like Judas, you're going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry. There's a woman that's sitting here in this section right here. Of course, there's probably a number of them here. But this particular one I speak of. The woman cannot get away from the world. She's a fine woman. And she would love to be in the things we're speaking of. And she gets her mind to a state of listening. I mean, really listening. But she can't get away from her background as to the world and the desire for the world. And it keeps her tore up all the time. You've got to admit that when the warning of God comes, whether it's to me or to you, it always comes to pass. Isn't it right? It always comes to pass. It always comes to pass. When the warning of God comes to you, it always comes to pass. I have never in my life, never seen one time where it ever failed. I was thinking yesterday, discussing this with somebody, as to how far-reaching the Word of God is and how sin extends itself. Once it gets a hold, you can't tear it loose unless it's the act of God. A man called me yesterday, and this man was saying something about a brother here that had neglected to do what he was supposed to do. And come to find out that he was a brother to a preacher, a Church of God preacher. That was a very prestigious man. When I knew him in another town, had a nice, beautiful rock church. Come from Lee College, a very prestigious, very fine, courteous type man. And I believe he was also writing insurance while he was ministering. I was there praying, seeking God, and the Lord showed me the man was drinking. So I didn't know how to represent it. I did the best I could in going to his wife and going to my wife. And we, together, my wife and I went over. And it literally tore him to pieces when he found out that I knew. Because I saw him. I saw him go down in the place where he got his drink. Saw who he got it from. Saw him pass it to him. And it literally tore him up. See, but I thought about this. Down through the years, that's numbers of years back, this has come. In talking to the man yesterday, day before yesterday, whenever it was, in talking with him, he said, I called you because I felt like he was a friend. I mentioned it to you. And we got into conversation about his brother. He said, my brother eventually drank till he left his wife. We warned the wife. She took cancer. And he said, my brother went off and married another woman. Said, and my brother died a drunkard or died with cirrhosis of the liver. See, far reaching. It never left him, that one spirit. As fine a man as I've ever seen. I'm saying this for one reason. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't fear God, you're just going to crash up. See, at your very best, if you live to be an old, old man and an old, old woman, you're going to go into a hole and they're going to throw dirt in your face and the worms are going to eat you. That's the best you can do. That's the best you can do. Even if you evade the storms, the diseases, the problems, whatever, you're still going to be meat for the worms. Job said, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He had that much faith in God. So then we see here that John is telling us that we have to assure the heart. And to assure the heart, we've got to be clean. We've got to be upright. We've got to quit seeing lying vanities. All is vanity, vanity. The preacher said vanity, lying vanities, and vexation of the spirit. And when faith versus knowledge and human reasoning, that mind of vanity goes out. That mind of strong delusion, that mind of insanity, that mind of Satan that has deceived you and led you into the web of the spider, that mind goes out and the mind of enlightenment and understanding comes in and the darkness of intellectual reasoning leaves and the powers of evil leave. And then you find yourself as a child of light. You may try to tell another person they can't understand what you're saying. They're a child of darkness, but you are a child of light. You understand that they're in error and that they're going to fall, that they're the blind and you're trying to take their hand. The blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. So them people out there, though they be presidents, great men, scholars, whatever, they're not capable of leading one another because all of them are blind. And the blind's leading the blind, and all of them are going to fall into the ditch. And the Bible said the whore is the ditch, which means the world and all of the filth. That's to Eve's children. That is the ditch. And all of them's falling into that old intellectual mind that come from the beast. They're falling into it. It's human reasoning. Not to lean to your own understanding, the Bible said, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All right, so the lust of the flesh, sin is in the world because of the lust of the flesh. Eve looked and lusted, and sin found an opening into the world. And you followed in her steps, being her children. You've lusted also and are still lusting after the things of the world. And because of that, sin still abides. And eventually, you're in the web of the spider, and he's got some strong bars. And when the key locks the door, you can't come out of it. That's it. Whether it's a prison naturally speaking or a prison spiritually speaking. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time that your adversary should deliver you to the judge, and then the judge deliver you to the jailer, and the jailer cast you into prison, and then you shall not come out till ye have paid the uttermost farthing, that is to say, as to the sentence, or as to the satisfaction of the judgment. All right, let's get back to the major theme of our thought here. Jesus said to this man, I'll come and I'll heal him. I'll heal him. See, many of them came out of Egypt, but looking back into Egypt in their heart, they turned back into Egypt in their heart. They had enough faith in Moses to come out. Then they murmured, they grumbled, and then they began to look back like a lot of Bethlehemites and Christian, so-called Christian people. They look back and they think about, boy, I'm leaving this off. And man, I can't get to that. I had a good time when we were doing this. And this little thing won't hurt. The little foxes spoil your vines. They don't have any fruits. You know, you're barren. You're barren. The Bible says if you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, conformity to the ways of God, to love holiness and righteousness, then you don't have your fruits unto holiness. Then they're of eternal life. But see, you don't have any because the little foxes has your temper, as to your desire, as to your conniving, as to cutting the corner, as to gossip, as to backbiting, as to spending your time in the natural and doing the things of the world and the natural things, doing those things of the flesh. So you don't have any fruits unto perfection. But anyway, Jesus said, I'll come and I'll heal him. I remember in Nebraska, I told this to some of the brethren. I started over to pray for somebody. Somebody called me. I was going over to the house to pray for a loved one. Started on my way, it's by myself. Betty didn't go with me. I went over to this house. I was going in there to pray for him. Pulled up in the front of the house and I stopped and I kind of gained my composure. And I said, now Lord, I'm going in here and I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to ask you to do something for them. And in my mind I said, I'll just go in there and ask the Lord Jesus to heal them. I was talking to myself. You know, the Bible says, speaking to yourself. I was speaking to myself. I said, and I'll go in there and I'll ask the Lord to heal them. And I heard something say, go in there and heal the person. And it just kind of shook me. And I thought, go in there and heal the person. I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going there and ask you to heal the person. And it said, go heal the person. And about that time, I felt something drop down over me and come all over me. And I heard something say, I give unto thee power over all the powers of the enemy. And I said, for you to go heal the sick. I thought, my God, I never thought of this. I never thought of this. And I just took a bonus. I said, well, praise God, I'll just go in there and heal him. And I went in there, and sure enough, the Lord healed the man like that. See, it is a matter of confidence. I say, Lord, would you please do this for me? And then I say, I believe. You know, I bumped on my head a lot of times. I've got to believe. I've got to get this out of my head. I've got to make myself believe. I believe. And then when I got through, I didn't realize I was just as much an unbeliever as I was before I started all that ritualistic. I said, I believe. Got to do it. I believe. You know. And then that little thing back in the back of my mind said, but now, what if it don't happen? And I think, yeah, what if it don't happen? But I said, I believe it's going to happen. Don't you know, folks? There ain't no faith there. When you're saying, what if it don't happen? There's no faith there. There is no faith there. There's no need of you going to do anything because you don't have any faith. The mere fact that you're saying, what if it don't happen? See, when you got faith, it's like this. Here somebody hasn't seen mother and daddy for 10 years. And mother and daddy pulls up in front of the house. And they're just yearning to see mother and daddy. And all of a sudden they hear a voice and they look and somebody screamed out, "My God, that's my mom and dad." Out they go. See, they don't say, "What if it ain't?" They don't say, "What if it ain't?" See, that's faith. They believe that's their mother and daddy. You understand what I'm saying? But now if they looked and said, "Well, I don't know. Now, this is what I'm speaking of. When you go to do anything, as Abraham, you must be fully persuaded. Jesus said, "I will come and I will heal the person." And when he said that, the Bible says that this man asked him if he would do that. And the man said to him, "I'm not worthy that you should come to my house, nor come under my roof. I'm not worthy for that." See, faith is accompanied by humility. Humility makes people great. So the Bible said humility goes before honor, because that is one of the great essentials as to this faith that Clyde is inquiring about. When the woman said, "Lord, the dogs eat of the crumb," humility was a forerunner unto honor. God said, "Great is thy faith, woman. Whatever you desire, you can have it." And here's another act of humility. See, here's another act. We come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need that we might receive help. Or that is to say, we come boldly before the throne of grace in the confidence as the being fully persuaded that God is our righteousness, and that He is going to answer it. No wavering, not staggering, not doubting anything. The Bible said, "Go forth doubting nothing." And so we go forth to do that. See, but we don't go forth saying, "Bless God, I'm righteous. I'm bold before the throne. God is going to happen. You give it to me." You don't do that. You go in humility, bowing at His feet, knowing that you are righteous all because of Him. As the man said, "I thank thee, God, I fast, I give tithe, I do." The Lord didn't pay a bit of attention to the other man with humility. He said, "Oh God, have mercy on me." And the Lord said he was justified. So then I said that again to say this. This man, according to the scriptures, this man asked him to do this as to the healing of his servant, and then said, "I'm not worthy that ye should come under my roof. But speak the word only." Just speak the word. He said, "Because I am a man that's of authority. I have servants unto me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another one, come, he comes. I say to this one, do thus and thus, and he does it." That is to say, I know that you are a man of authority. All you got to do is do the same thing that I do. If I said it, then it's done. You said it, it'd be done. And Jesus marveled. There's no record as to where Jesus marveled very much, but he marveled. He said, "Faith, so great a faith, I've not even found in Jacob." Or he said, "In Israel, or in the people of Israel." Said, "I've not found so great faith." Now the Bible said this man said this to Jesus. Really, in another place, it's even greater than that. It doesn't record that the man said it to Jesus. He told his servant, and his servant went and said it. You read it in one place and you get it that he told Jesus this. But if you'll check it in another place, you'll find that he sent a servant. He said, "Neither thought I worthy to even come unto you." And he sent somebody over there. And Jesus marveled. And it was so great that when the man went back, he found his servant healed. Found his servant, Jesus said, "According to your faith." Somebody said, "Well, if he said that to me, Brother Pike, I could also be like that." Another man came to him about his little daughter. They said, "No, the daughter's dead." He said, "Don't worry about that." He said, "Just believe." They went their way. The little girl was raised from the dead. The little girl was healed, as to another case. You understand what I'm saying? That is to say, when you say something, Jesus said, when you say something, believe that you have it, you shall have it. Someone would say, "If he said that unto me, I could do that too. Two or three gathered together in his name, he's in the midst." And the Bible said, "It's not the minister speaking, but Christ speaking within you, and they shall all be taught of God." So again, he says it to you. as to 1,000 generations, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word, an altar that spoke the world into existence. He sent His Word and healed them. The same Word is with you. Was with the Jews, but it did not profit them, and that it was not mixed with faith. But here it is to you. God speaks to you. And He says, say what you will. Don't doubt in your heart. And He said, you'll have whatever you say. So Jesus said, I can have what I say, Jesus could have said. So He said, I'll come and heal him. Because He knew whatever He said, that was it. He said to the tree, He cursed the tree. Said, from henceforth and forever, no more fruit. That was it. See, this is why that I say, we play around with volleyball. We've got to have football. We've got to have baseball. We've got to have pool tables. We've got to have Sissy doing something. We've got a little society for her and a little society for the boys. And we've got all these things in the church. You know why we've got it in it? Because we are as a people, unless we're born again, which I thank God I am. I trust that you are. A bunch of reprobates. We're so busy eating and drinking, doing the things of the world that we're so lustful, we're so full of the desire of natural things that we have eyes filled with adultery and can't cease from sin and beguiling others that are unstable. We pull them into the same fire. We're so busy pulling a deal and making a dollar that we get more joy out of swapping an old jumper and making $10 off of somebody, even if it's a brother, to keep from working. We do this. Or we get more joy in going out there, getting ourselves what we call a business, too lazy to work ourselves and enslaving our brethren, and cutting them down just as close as we can to make all the money we can off of them, you know, so we don't have to do nothing. We get more joy out of that than we do out of serving God and doing something for God. You understand what I'm saying? That's the world. That's the world. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. What if we put as much time in on our knees? Put as much time in praying, studying the Bible, trying to help somebody, being about the Father's will. Do you believe God would take care of us? He did a whole generation of people, as you say, coming out of the wilderness, coming out of Egypt, from the flesh pots. There was thousands and thousands of people He took care of. No problem. The feet didn't even swell. All right, we're going to close in just a few minutes. But here's what I'm saying. See, we don't spend enough time with God to be spiritual. Paul said, I would that you're spiritual, but you're bathed in Christ. There's envy, there's strife, there's malice, all of these things in your life. So we spend our time in the world, so we have the mind of the world. Whereas others, like prophets of old, spent their mind, their time with Christ, and they had the mind of Christ to that extent. They had confidence. See, John said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Chapter 3, verse 20. And he says here, 19th verse, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And he said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, which means faith, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Have you received anything of him lately? He said, ask that your joy be full. Dale and Kelly was telling me about something that happened. Dale got up in the tent meeting. She witnessed of the time when the gas gave out. Some of you heard it, and how that God caused the car to crank and gone to its destination, not knowing that God was going to test her faith when she got into Atlanta, Georgia, in the midst of all of that traffic. In the midst of all of that traffic, when she got there, her car knocked off. Nice Cadillac. They'll knock off too. They're knocked off right in the midst of the traffic. You know, somebody says, if I had a Lincoln and a Cadillac, my troubles would be over. Just use more gas. But anyway, here she was. She stopped right in the middle of the problems. Just a couple of girls and a little child. And she said, Kelly reached over, pulled on the flashers. And there they were.
And then all of a sudden, they, not knowing what to do, they called on God. Isn't that what we always do? Oh my God. And so in calling on God, Dale knew then that her faith was being tested. The testimony that she had given to see if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, to every generation, as to the father, as to the child. And Kelly witnessed and said, after hearing Dale tell the testimony, or talk as she did, said something gripped my heart. And I thought, I remember what Dale said that happened when she was a little girl. And she said her heart just lit up to believe that God would help her and Dale and Fleece. So all of a sudden, Dale, she says to the car or whatever they said, I can't remember exactly what it was, but that this, oh God, this car's going to crank. Said, and the car cranked right up. Didn't sputter, didn't spit, didn't do anything. Pulled right on off. Said when it chugged, she thought that, you know, her faith was at that point just enough to get it off the road. Said, but since it runs so smoothly, she just kept on going. And said she got down to the exit, she pulled off and got gasoline and everything was fine. Let's give the Lord a hand. See, Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I ask you, have you had, the Bible said, if you've not received anything, ask that your joy might be full, because it fills us up with joy to know that God answers our prayers and all these things happen. Because we can pray for our loved ones, pray for all kinds of things. All right, let me hurry along here to close. But see, and he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That's what he said. And then in Mark, he said, say what you will, it'll be done unto you. Just don't doubt. Don't doubt in your heart. Your head is never going to quit doubting. Your head is going to be full of doubt. Ah, is the atmosphere with June bugs in June. All the time they're going to come. You ever notice a strange thing about June bugs? They just come out of nowhere and then they die. They zoom around a little bit and they die. Isn't that right? Well, that's the way the devil is. The best thing to do is let him die. It says here, now, let's read the rest of it. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because, that's the part I didn't put in a little bit ago. We receive of him because. Somebody said, I got that, Brother Pike. It says, whatsoever we ask of him, we get it. No, it said we get it because. And this is the other part. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That is to say, as Satan would interpret that, we watch TV because God's a good God. And we go to the ball games and we frolic and we give way to our passions and we have tempers and we backbite and we frequent everything in the world and we lounge around, steal, cheat, swindle, lie, everything else. You know, isn't that right? No, that isn't right. Not at all. When it says we keep his commandments as to love one another, to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, it goes on down to tell us to come out from the world to be a separate people. If anything have any virtue in them, think on these things and get our mind off everything that's non-virtuous. See, and we do those things, it causes us to return in the power of the Spirit. That's what it is. See, so then Abraham, being strong in faith. Why was he strong in faith? Because he did the things that pleased God, even to taking that son up there. It didn't make no difference what it was. He left the land of his kindred. Some of you can't even get out of the land of the kindred. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I left the Carolinas, I left Texas, I left Tennessee, and Mississippi, and wherever, I come all the way over here. You've never got your kindred out of your heart since you've been here. You've never got them places out of your heart. You keep looking back in your heart into Egypt. You're always looking back to your kindred, your relatives, visiting, talking, going over here, going over there, doing this or wanting that, whatever. Always back. You never got out of there. And the Bible said God was not well pleased with them and he smote them. All of them died in the wilderness. So this is what I'm speaking of. When you become dead to the flesh, then you're dead to all those things. Somebody says, Brother Pike, so many multiplied things. How will we ever perform all? Simply by dying. And when you're dead, you won't do none of those things. He that belonged to the Lord hath mortified the flesh. with the lust and the deeds, the affections thereof. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the world, dead unto sin, and alive unto God. All right, that's a reasonable service, the Bible says. Full reward, partial reward, any kind of reward. All right, so then we conclude by saying, as Solomon, the whole duty of man is to fear God, keep His commandments. And as it was said of Abraham, he was called the friend of God because he believed God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, they say there's 32,000 promises here, what God had promised that he was able also to perform, he staggered not at the deadness of Sarah's womb, nor him being dead, and he staggered not at the promises of God, but was fully persuaded. So then ask yourself the question, are you fully persuaded? If you're not fully persuaded in what the minister has said or the Spirit has spoken to you, it's because you're partially in the world. You got your mind on the flesh and the things there. And that means Satan has got part of your life and he loves the things of the world. He loves to eat. He loves to drink. He wanders through the dry places. He can't get out of those things. The demon spirits can't unless they can find a body in the time of this grace. This is the blood being on the seat of atonement. Then he can enter right into the light. Satan comes to present himself also as in the days of Job. Lives in the human body. He is a parasite. He eats you up. And the end of that is cancer. The end of that is death. The end of that is sickness. When you give him a place to live, the uncleanness of him is going to end your life in insanity or death or whatever it might be. You know, you can break your body down and you can use it up for God. Or you can let the devil use it up as a parasite and eat you like a worm inside of an egg or an apple, eating it up and having nothing but a crust. Touch it, just break all to pieces. You love the Lord? All right, so then the thought tonight was, what is meant by Abraham being strong in faith? You must do things to strengthen your faith. I preached to you the other night. The Bible said some of you have not, your works have not been found perfect. Therefore, strengthen the things that remain, or I'll come and I'll move your candlestick. So then I tell you again, the candlestick of God, it's the spirit of man that is life, searching out the inward parts. It's on the inside. It's lit with a little flame of life. And God said, I'll just snuff it out. Say, so let's please God. We're in this world to conform. We're going through school and college, and we're to conform. And when we leave here, we'll go into the next world, as we say, to live and be about our Father's business as to take over. But here, we also have the charge of our Father's business. And these things are profitable for here, supplying all your needs, making you rich, having no sorrow, giving your health, happiness, protecting your loved ones. If you'd see good days and your children long life, then refrain your tongue from speaking evil, and the blessings of God will come upon you. So then here we are to conclude the whole thing, as I said, by saying he was strong in faith. When we persuade our heart, this is our confidence, do the things that please him. Folks, the song said, come a little closer, come a little closer, come a little closer to the Lord. And this is the way to do it. Strengthen your faith. Don't say that you don't have faith. The Bible said, cast not away your faith that hath great recompense and reward. But strengthen your faith. Somebody said, well, I prayed and God did this, but I prayed over here, he didn't do that. Why? It took the same faith to do that it took to do this. There wasn't one difference. Somebody said, well, I just hit it lucky over here and I thought it was faith. No, that's not what it is at all. You had enough strength for this, but you didn't have enough strength for that. As a child, you have enough strength to do as a child. When you get older, you have enough strength to do as a man or woman. See, strengthen your faith. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Abraham was strong. All right, let's stand together. I trust that these things mean something to you. The songwriter said, and to some folks, these things would mean a lot. A lot of people that can't get to Bethlehem, or they don't have the privilege of these things. To them, just to get a message a little bit over the radio or whatever, it means a lot to them. So then, to some folks, these things would mean a lot. People that in imprisoned behind bars, caged up like an animal. People that have already died and passed on that are in hell, to them these things would mean a lot. I hope that it means something to you, that when we say these things, that you'll put it together and incorporate it in your life, give them more earnest heed, take heed how that you hear, so it don't get scrambled up by the prince of the powers of the air, and put this thing in your life and begin to work this thing out and watch your faith grow. Watch your faith grow in leaps and bounds. When I say grow, I'm speaking of the strength of it. You know, the disciples one time said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus looked at them. Lord, increase my faith. You know, I got faith like a chunk of gold, but I need it like two chunks of gold. I mean, that was their mode of thinking. Well, I've just got faith, but Lord, even with this, I need you to make it bigger and bigger. Jesus let them know how much in error they were. He turned to them as if to say, increase your faith. You don't have any faith to increase. I mean, that's just about the way it was said. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And when we were over in Israel, I tell you again, I showed David Paul this little grain of mustard seed. You could hardly see it. We caught it on camera and magnified it. I got it from a mustard tree right there where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I said, David Paul, you see that little minute, tiny thing? And then I began to talk to him to build faith in his heart. See, they said, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had any faith, that's what he was saying. If you had any faith at all. Now think now, he said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. That means that they did not have it that size. Are you listening to me now? They didn't have it that big. Because if it had that big, it could move a mountain. So if it got any little, any smaller, you couldn't have found it. Because you can hardly find the grain of mustard seed so tiny. You ever seen a grain of mustard seed? I mean, it is tiny. It is like a little tiny speck, almost. All right, so then, we that's got all this faith, let's see if we can build it at least to the size of a grain of mustard seed. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, it's wonderful to be a Christian, but let's strengthen our faith in God. Strengthen your faith. He said, well, then you believe we do have faith. Sure. He said, but Jesus said if we had faith of a grain of mustard seed. I know that. You know, but the grain of mustard seed has a strength. The Bible said it is the least when it is put into the ground, but it groweth into a great tree. Jesus finished the parable. And then it is so great, it is the biggest among herbs. And the fowls of the air actually come and lodge in its branches. Well, that is, you grow into a spiritual strength to where angelic beings will see you as the tree of life and come and lodge in your branches. See, so you do have faith. How else could you be saved? You're saved by faith. If you don't have any faith, then you couldn't be saved. How then do I have the faith? Why did Jesus say to them, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed? Look what the prophets had done through faith. But Jesus was simply saying, I'm going to die for a mission of sin. And I'm going to die to make you righteous in the sight of God. And then you'll have a chance to have some faith. And when you do get this faith, he was trying to tell us that we could do something to return in the power of this faith. Or the Spirit. Once we get the infilling of the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. So then let's strengthen the things that remain. Or let's strengthen faith. And in strengthening faith, let's be about our Father's business to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Let me tell you, young boy and girl, man and woman, don't be a fool. Go out there and give your body to the dogs, to the swine. Go out there and wallow in the mire with them and lap the vomit. Their education and their understanding, according to the Bible, is vomit. They spread forth their own shame and walk in their own mire. Paul said, all of it's nothing but dung. Don't go out there and do that. Glorify God with your bodies, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, the man defileth in him shall God destroy. See, it's made to live forever. Use it for God. Use your strength for God. Use your mind for God. Use your talent for God. And you'll grow bigger than trees. You know, and you'll find yourself in the blessings of God. Everything that you desire. Folks, I don't have any desire of my heart but what God hasn't given it to me. Did you know that? No. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pike, I know for sure you got lost children. You desire for them to be saved and they won't come to God. No, I beg your pardon. Every one of my children have come to God. Been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They've accepted God. They've shouted. They sing. Done all these things. Work for God. They're out there. It's up to Him to take care of them. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said He gave me the desires of my heart. Everything I've ever asked for, financially, whatever. Until this day, God has blessed me. The Bible said, your strength shall be as your day. My strength is aplenty today. No problem. No problem. I believe it was yesterday, was it? Come to think of it, it strikes my mind. Dale's piano is heavy, heavy, heavy. But anyway, it had to be moved. I said, David, you get on one end, I get on the other. We'll move it. We picked it up. We took it to the door so the boys could load it on the truck. No problem. No problem at all. See, because God is with us. And if God be with us, it is said, if God is with us, where is the miracles? They've been happening. You're blind and don't see, but those that can see, they've seen them. Many, many things have been happening. Still happening, going to continue to happen. And we're going to continue to glorify God and to praise the Lord. Some of you are dead, twice dead and plucked up by the root. You'll always have questions in your mind, resentment in your mind, find fault, tear things to pieces. Always hack things up to your own thoughts. It'll always be that way. But some of you, it won't be that way with you. You'll have a simple childlike faith, and you'll walk with the Lord enough to keep all of that filth and garbage, that infiltration out of you, that when the preacher says something as to the Word of God, you'll be like Abraham. The Bible said, all of the promises of God are yea and amen. Your mind will say, yea and amen. Oh, God, help me. Lord, I want to be like that. Lord, I believe that. God, I'm going to try to do that. You know, while others' mind go round in a tailspin, you know, questioning, feelings, frustration, anxiety, thoughts, all kinds of things, fears passing through your mind. But Abraham was fully persuaded. Glad to have LaTanya here. I believe it was LaTanya that God worked a great miracle on us for the operation of the head, was it? I remember a long time back when LaTanya would have died. And we prayed for God spared her. It looked like a bad case. It's to her dying. All right, let's sing a song together, can we? I'm not here to scold you. I'm here to help you. But the Bible does say that we're to reprove, to rebuke. And that openly that others might see and fear. Jesus said concerning some people, said, you know what others have done. Now I say to the Bethlehemites, you know what others have done. And I say to them that hear my voice. Many of you out there, religious people, you know, you've been in religion all your life. You know exactly. You know exactly what others have done. And the wrath of God, the Bible said, has come upon them even to the uttermost. But Jesus said, you knowing this, you go do the same things. And then he really waxed bold and he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Knowing these things and then going and doing those things. Knowing what I've done to others because of the things that they've done. And then you go and do them. How can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you generation of vipers. All right, let's sing together. I say these things and Paul said, yet in my heart, knowing or hoping or believing that it's not this way with you at all, that you're children of God, that you're Christians, that you love the Lord, that you wouldn't do that for nothing. You wouldn't offend the Lord. You wouldn't hurt His feeling. You're too thankful for what He's done for you. So then if we run after the world and love the flesh and seek to save our life, we lose it. We give our life to God, surrender what we've got as to honor the Lord with all that we are or all that we've got. Then the Bible said you'll save your life here in this world and then unto eternal life. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's sing together. If you don't have a vision for God, then let's get a vision. Overseas they sing, don't lose your vision for God. And let's get a vision. Let's get a vision. And let's do something for the Lord. You've got a talent. You've got an ability. You, not someone else, you. Say, well, I can't do nothing. No, that's wrong. You're just seeing lying vanities. You're a man just like I'm a man. You're a human being like I'm a human being. And that means you can do whatever you want to do. Paul said, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. Somebody said, well, I can do this, but I can't do that. I wish I could do that like he does it or she does it. It's just because you don't give your time to it. Like was said in the man preaching one time, gave a little illustration. We've told you this a number of times. Somebody playing a piano, so beautiful. The audience completely carried away, a great, mighty thing as it was to a concert. And then, at the end of it, as the individual started out, somebody met the individual and said, oh, how I wished that I could play that piano like you. Said, I'd give my very life to do that. And the person said, well, that's all it takes. Let's give the Lord a... So if you want to do something for God, that's all it takes. It took Jesus' life to do what he'd done for me and you. Let's sing together, can we? Let's sing, I love him. To love him, to keep his commandments. I love him. Says, please pray. It's concerning Mr. Bill that gives us a close. I think he gave us a blow today. Left arm is partially paralyzed. Said he'd be so grateful if God would heal him. Tony sent us up. Let's pray about that. And like I said, if it was our arm, how grateful we would be. No problem for God. If we walk with God, talk with God, strengthen our faith. Don't despair because you cannot do what someone else does. Keep on praying. The little boy can't do what the big boy can do, but if he keeps on growing, after a while he can do it and he might even do a better job. You can't ever tell. See, there's one thing about it. God's no respecter person. He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you desire to do anything, you can do it. If you say, well, I'd love to sing, but I can't sing a lick. And it just ain't no way. You know what I think about that? That's like a parrot. A parrot, he just talks. He's full of talk. The old crow, he can't say a word, but work with him a little bit, split his tongue down, and he'll gobble out words. You'd be surprised. God can take you and make something out of you. Like I told them about the cameras. They said, new cameras. Now, these are new to me. I never had them before. But the thing is, I said, the Bible said God brings out a good man, that is, through God, brings out of his treasure both old and new. God said, ask for the old paths and you'll find rest. The Bible said God is the Ancient of Days. He was here at the beginning, he'll be here at the end. When they got ready to launch this thing, this spaceship, they had taken parts off the Columbia, left it, exiled it. It was for the junk. When they got ready to go, they couldn't find nothing to do it but what was the junk. They went back and revived it, and it went up there with those men. You understand what I'm saying? The earth, it's from old, the Bible says. It remaineth forever. One generation will come and go, another, but the earth abideth forever. See, because God is able to make everything new. Everything is new with God. His mercy is new every day. If you run out of mercy yesterday, he's got some new mercy today. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. That is, God give even more, even to the blood, to overcome it. So then, he said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. He'll make you new. In Adam, you're the first man, Adam. It's your first birth unto death. You're old. You'll die. But in Christ, all are made alive. He'll make you brand new. You love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
So we're going to sing this little chorus, and the altar's open if you'd like to come. And we'll sing the song. Come a little closer, Sister Dan. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord.
Heavy load will light, and your day will brighten if you come a little.
Can you sing that with me? So
come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh,
come a little closer to the Lord.
That's a very long ago, brother, I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, with my head hanging low,
there was
trouble in my soul, praying for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came a-calling one day, from the good book, read a few words. I came a little closer to the Lord.
So come a little closer,
just a little closer, oh, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten
when you come a little closer. One more time,
to the
Lord. So come a little closer,
just a little. Just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten.
Not so very long ago,
brother, I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, with my head hanging low and trouble in my soul, praying for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came a-calling one day, from the good book he read a few words. Truly say that I'm glad for the day
when
I came a little closer to the Lord. So
come a little closer,
just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten
when
you come a little closer to the Lord.
So
come a little closer. Just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
So
come a little closer, just a little closer, a little.
come a little closer to the Lord, and this is what makes everything work out all right. Brother Taylor said, and this will get the job done.
Hallelujah.
This will get the job done. You love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Let's sing this little chorus. I want you to think on it. Wasted years,
wasted years.
Oh, how
foolish,
as you stumble
in darkness and tears.
So turn. Sing that with me. Oh, wasted years,
wasted years.
Oh, how foolish,
as you
wobble
in darkness and
tears. Turn. Sing it one more time. Just think now. Years that you can't go back and pick up.
Wasted.
Think about that now.
Wasted,
there ain't no way. Like I asked him yesterday in the video room, I said, can you go back? Can you make up for yesterday? The Bible said, redeem the time for the days are evil. I said, can you pick up what you've lost? Can any of you today go back and get yesterday? You can't do that, can you? It's gone. 10 years from now, that 10 years is going to be gone, and you're going to look back and see that you throw that away. Then you're going to hate yourself.
He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Oh, wasted years. Wasted years. Stumble
in darkness,
sin and shame. So turn around, turn around.
What
God is
calling,
He's calling you from a life. Give me a key, sister. Let's sing this song at supper time. Sing for Sister Dale. Started.
Come home.
Can you sing it with
come
us?
Come home.
It's supper
time.
The shadows are lengthening
fast.
Come home. But a boy in days of childhood,
I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows all lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. He said, across the bridge,
there's no more sorrow.
He said, across the bridge,
there's no more pain.
For the sun will shine. The bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Across the bridge, there's no more pain.
For the sun.
Sing just another chorus or two before we dismiss.
So wonderful to be a Christian. The songwriter said, and it shall come to pass, it shall be light in the evening time.
They sing the song, the light in the evening time. The path to glory ye shall surely find. So then, gross darkness covering the people as to their intellectual reasoning, yet at the same time children of light are receiving the inspiration as to the unveiled things of God as to the light, which means revelation or that which is revealed. Comprehending the height, the depths, the length, the width, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you might know the truth. Being children of the light, then we know when the day is nigh, even at hand. Close our eyes and let's sing this song, Sister Dale. And time shall be no more. Shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time will be no more. Can you sing that? For time shall be. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, just one more time. And time, in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son, Calvary, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, to gather all things into Christ, all things in heaven and earth, into the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're the children of the resurrection, even the children of the fullness of time. And time. Can you sing it with me? So time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and then time shall be. Just one more time together. So time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more, and time
shall be no more.
Let's just bow our heads together. Lift up our hands. I'm going to ask Ron, Brother Ron, if you'll come up and dismiss us. And while Ron's coming to pray for
you and to pray with you. Let's consider the Lord. Tell me that Ron worked mighty hard in helping us get the tent down and getting it in order. And from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it. Brother Bill Cartridge said he really works. Brother Pike, he really was a help to me. So easy to work with. He's helped us to get our fire truck. Thank you, Josiah. Help us to get our fire truck straightened out pretty much so far and look like it's going to be to where we can use it also. A little diligence, a little concern, and cameras, fire trucks, whatever it is. And the first news, you know, they're functioning real well, doing their job, and they are of a benefit. They are an asset rather than a liability. Okay, Sister Betty wants to know if I mentioned the meeting tomorrow night. David Hauser is starting a mission over in Winder. And he's been a number of times and asked, even before I went over to Jeff, if we would come up and preach for him tomorrow night. And I try not to refuse. You know, I try to go everywhere I can. If it's out in the open, if it's under a tent, if it's in a little mission, if it's in a church, auditorium, wherever it's at, we preach and all those things. And when people are trying to do a work for God, I try to go. And he wanted me to come Monday, and I told him I could not. That was before we went to Jeff, and I said, when we come back, I'll try to go on a Thursday. So I really need Thursday free, and I know you do too, because we've got some things here that we need to do. But sometimes it's a revelational thing. Sometimes it's God just showing mercy. But we're planning to go up there tomorrow night and try to minister for him. And if you have a chance to go up that way, I don't know whether you're tied up, whatever. Whatever it is, you know, if you can go up that way, that's good. If you can't, I understand. But we will be up there, and Sister Betty reminds me of it. We'll be there. Lord bless you as our brother Ron comes. Lord bless you, Ron.